Hey folks, this is Tom Castles, former host of Databook. I just wanted to drop in for a second to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by InterSystems, the engine behind the world's most important healthcare applications. So here's the deal. InterSystems is all about helping you overcome the challenges of modern healthcare. Their advanced software solutions can help your health system transform care processes for moving to value-based care, managing population health, engaging patients, and so much more. It's all driven by a simple mission: to empower care providers and connect care communities around clearly presented, easy-to-use, and comprehensive health information. I think we can all agree that our industry needs innovation. So that's why I encourage you to take the next step today. Reach out to InterSystems on Twitter or LinkedIn, or visit them online at intersystems.com.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Databook. My name is Samara Rosenfeld, and today I will be speaking with Janae Sharp, founder of Sharp Index, a nonprofit dedicated to reducing physician suicide and burnout. After her former husband died by suicide, she noted the disconnect with physician burnout. If our healers are not able to be healthy, our health system will fail. With a background in healthcare IT and patient engagement, she decided to start contributing to the solution. The Sharp Index addresses solutions to help healthcare systems quantify and fix organizational problems that lead to physician burnout. Also joining us is Dalton Ruhr, a data scientist storyteller. He is a seasoned author, speaker, blogger, and YouTube video creator who is best known for dynamically sharing inconvenient truths and observations in a humorous manner. His entire career has surrounded data and finding and sharing insights with others. In part two of this three-part podcast, we discuss the culture of med school, how med school can better prepare young physicians to use new technologies, and if a fear of burnout is keeping young professionals from pursuing a career in medicine.
We left off talking about misconceptions with physician burnout and how physicians often leave med school and enter the field used to this extreme success. Is there a problem with the way that med school is set up?
Short answer, yes. I think there definitely is. And some of that is that they're covering a lot of ground. There's so much information. Another way to look at it is I don't believe most medical schools start showing you an electronic health record on day one. That wouldn't start until you're in rotations or with a patient population. And a few schools start that very early, which has shown to be better, but not everybody does. So the education that physicians receive, since they have so much knowledge that's required, doesn't always look at the business aspect. It doesn't always look at computing. We're not training them to run a business. We're training them to deliver healthcare. We're not educating them on how to run marketing online and how to run a PR campaign. We're training them on how to heal people. And all of those outside things that are involved in medicine and will impact their day-to-day life as physicians profoundly aren't part of that training. Also, a lot of the training doesn't account for real human beings who have families or who have outside commitments. I remember when John was in school, he went to an orientation and someone was kind of saying, if your relationship lasts through medical school, you probably didn't do well in school. And that culture matters. But when you look at it from the other perspective, when a physician is burned out, the outside support that they have from family or from their community, how connected they are, has a direct impact on whether or not they can heal and whether or not they make it through the hardest periods.
You would think that because of the way healthcare has progressed and transformed to use all of these technologies, that students would be a little bit better prepared to use EHRs, these medical devices, telemedicine tools. Why is that not something that they would then be introduced to earlier on in their careers?
I think it's a matter of time. When you have way too much to do, how do you prioritize of the too much to do what you leave out?
So would you say that there's a problem with the way that med school operates, or there's simply put a lot of things that a provider needs to know before breaking into their professional career in a health system, a hospital, you know, a healthcare facility, whatever it may be?
Probably both. Both things are problematic. I think that it's hard on a podcast to say like the simple answers for what would improve medical school and training, because multiple things need to be improved. And also multiple things are done really well. If you think about how much personalized training you're giving to someone in such a short period of time, it's not the worst system in the world. So I guess that's really the only answer is kind of a non-answer, in that, you know, there are a lot of things that need to be improved. There are some things that they're doing very well. And it's hard. And each individual healthcare system or healthcare school has to decide which priority they have. What are the things that you want to improve, and how do those look? The medical schools that have most success with improving education are the ones where physicians in training can self-identify for what they think needs to improve and work on that. So I wouldn't be able to identify what an individual school should work on first. I can tell you there are a lot of possibilities, and the most effective systems are the ones where medical students identify what they want to work on and pick that as their priority.
Do you think that medical schools are in tune with the need to understand the way that technology operates?
Yes and no. Technology is something where it's evolving quickly, and frequently it's evolving more quickly than regulations and more quickly than our business design. So do they have someone who is full-time looking at the technology of medicine and how it's evolving? I don't know. That depends on the school and the aptitude for technology of the individual administrators. I remember my former father-in-law would always say, marriage is a crapshoot. Like, you never know what you're going to get. It can be good or bad. And I thought a lot about that concept of some things in life are a crapshoot. Like sometimes you get lucky and a medical program is very mental health friendly. That's a little bit concerning though, because sometimes you get lucky. It's not consistent across all of the schools, whether or not you're going to have a great experience. So what can be changed there? Like, do they need to make different regulations? Do they need to make different program system designs? I'd say solidly, it would be important to look really closely at residency hour requirements. How do those impact things? That's something that's very well established. But something with technology, it's not as well established what best practice would be. And it's not consistent whether or not you're going to get a great experience where your administrators understand things or not, because we're dealing with human administrators and human systems.
Do you think that the fear of potentially becoming burnt out could dissuade people from entering the medical field?
Ding, 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 ding. I will answer that one. I work with a lot of young athletes, and as they prepare for college, I've had multiples who all through their preteen lives and early teen lives planned on going to med school. They wanted to be physicians. As they got into high school, and I encouraged them to do, you know, student internship type things, several of them were talked out of going into medical practice as a physician and being a PA instead, where they did not have to deal with a lot of the business side. They didn't have to worry about anything other than showing up and doing what it is that they loved. So yeah, I think that fear of you can't possibly ever be right or succeed is impacting the way that physicians talk to people thinking about getting into the field. They kind of warn them ahead of time, you're not going to be happy here. And I think part of what the medical schools, you know, I'll be the first to say, look, we've got top-notch med schools teaching how to heal people. When I'm a patient, I tell my physician, my surgeon up front, I need you to save my life. I need this to work, right? Like, fix this thing. Whether they make me happy, whether they comfort me, doesn't matter to me. But these days, it's not just, did the doctor get it right? Like, hey, you know, you walk around and you see all these TV shows where you go on rounds. What do you think this problem is? They've got, you know, symptom A, B, C, D, E, F, G. The test results show this. What do you think it is, right? And there's a right or wrong answer. Guess what? You know, how solved the problem? In this day and age with technology, it's not just about solving the problem. You had to solve it in X amount of seconds or your waiting room is filled up. And you also had to be super cheery and happy and comfy and make everybody feel loved, because there's patient satisfaction scores that are taken into account as to how you get paid. Not just did people like you or not, your pay is based on that. And oh, by the way, you also have to have a certain quality, and you need to pre-call people who haven't shown up for appointments, because you're going to be measured on how well you told them to show up for tests they're supposed to have. And it just, it's becoming such a data-driven world outside that it's becoming, what is healthcare, right? That is really becoming an issue. And how do you prepare for, you got to do it fast, but it better be the best quality in the country. And it better be cheap, but it better be the best quality in the country. And you have 13 seconds to see a patient, but they better feel like you spent 20 minutes hugging them. So we're setting up a no-win situation in regards to a lot of these quality scores and metrics that are out there that people are then being compared to.
And you're bringing up something that's extremely serious. If these young people are not wanting to go to med school, this could lead to physician shortages. This impacts healthcare as a whole.
Can I tell you a story too about this? And the fact of the matter is, we are having physician shortages. We're going to, and it's probably going to get worse. Before John started school, he always wanted to be a physician, and he wanted to help people be able to see specifically. And I remember his father would sit him down. His father is an orthodontist by profession. And he would say, you do know that you can make much more money and have a better life in business, and you need to not go into medicine. And he also would say, you do know that radiologists won't exist soon, because artificial intelligence will be able to identify images better than the naked eye, and they'll outsource that to physicians that are cheaper in other countries. This is maybe 15 years ago. And as they had significant conversations, and I can't tell you how many conversations happened over those years from people that were saying, don't go into medicine. This is a bad decision. It's going to ruin your family. It's going to ruin your life. That did not change his desire to go into medicine. But then when John needed help, and when John started having serious mental illness, a lot of people had a hard time providing support, because they said, this is just what it looks like. This is just what the educational system looks like. It's just going to be hard. And we see that in a lot of areas in life. When you say, look, I've been up with this baby all night, I'm tired. And people say, yeah, babies are hard. And I think in medical education, we're seeing that. We're seeing that people are saying, this is going to be hard. And you go into it because you want to do it. They wanted to do it, even knowing that it's going to be hard. But then when you get into that situation, you didn't really understand how hard it was going to be and what you look like under pressure. And it's going to impact long-term who goes into medicine. It's going to impact who survives in medicine. And it's going to impact patient care. And so I think it's important to have the narrative where, even if you went into something and understood that it would be hard, when you get there, you still need the support while it is hard. And it's okay for things to be harder than you anticipated, even though everyone told you it was going to be harder than you anticipated. When we talk about, like, people will lose it, we need to be very careful. And I feel super passionate about this. It was hard for him, and he was trying to get help, and people were saying, well, it was going to be hard. We don't really get it. It's so hard for humans to be supportive. It's like when you have that one friend who makes terrible decisions and they get themselves into terrible situations, and you're like, well, okay, how about you don't make bad decisions?
And the other part of that, though, is like, if I get into a bad decision, I can probably get out of it financially somehow. If I straighten my act up and Janae gives me great advice, I get out of it. Eventually, when you've got somebody who is so financially in debt that they know there is no career alternative that's going to allow them to ever be financially stable, if they don't continue pursuing it, they're locked in. I mean, at that point, they're almost an indentured servant that there's just no choice. You know, physicians in that situation, when they reach that point, they realize, I can't go be a waiter. and ever get out of debt. Like the amount of money is staggering that they have to borrow to go through medical school, and then there's no alternative.
Well, Janae, thank you so much for sharing that story. And we do have to wrap up this second part of the podcast, but we're about to move over from med school discussions to physicians in the health system and what C-suites can do. So make sure that you tune into that third and final episode.
Patient Experience Symposium is a one-of-a-kind conference that brings together leading stakeholders from across healthcare to improve and enhance patient experience. The most influential thought leaders, healthcare executives, clinical trial operators, and clinicians will come together in Massachusetts from May 11th to 13th to exchange game-changing ideas and actionable strategies to enhance patient experience in their healthcare ecosystems. The symposium features a new track, The Role of New Technologies in Healthcare, which will include a session titled Telehealth, Improving the Patient Experience and Enhancing Care, featuring Dr. Joseph Kvader, and Digital Therapeutics, Combining Technology and Evidence-Based Medicine to Transform Personalized Patient Care, featuring Megan Coder. Attendees will learn best practices and find answers to difficult patient experience issues and leave with the power to develop an unforgettable patient experience. To register and learn more, go to patientsymposium.com. Together, we're changing the face of patient experience. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Databook. As always, I'm your host, Samara Rosenfeld. Make sure you like this podcast, subscribe, and follow Inside Digital Health on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook to stay up to date on the latest health tech news. Also, feel free to follow me on Twitter, @RosenfeldSamara, and let me know what you want to hear on the upcoming episodes of the show.
Hey folks, this is Tom Castles, former host of Databook. I just wanted to drop in for a second to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by InterSystems, the engine behind the world's most important healthcare applications. So here's the deal. InterSystems is all about helping you overcome the challenges of modern healthcare. Their advanced software solutions can help your health system transform care processes for moving to value-based care, managing population health, engaging patients, and so much more. It's all driven by a simple mission: to empower care providers and connect care communities around clearly presented, easy-to-use, and comprehensive health information. I think we can all agree that our industry needs innovation. So that's why I encourage you to take the next step today. Reach out to InterSystems on Twitter or LinkedIn, or visit them online at intersystems.com.